Okay, we'll begin with a little bit of a rush because of the other class afterwards, and I promised that I would try to stop before that one starts. I wonder if we could arrange to have somebody over there tell us when they're about to begin. Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you. We're hope to finish, but as we mentioned in the first class, that kashrus is something that I always study up on. You never learn at all. Food keeps on changing. How they make food keeps on changing. And even Torah, our understanding of Torah, also changes as we look at things differently and as we grow. And so it's not like you can learn it. Oh, I learned it all 20 years ago. I have nothing else to learn. Kashrus, we're always learning new things about food. We're always finding out things. Sometimes people call us and they say, did you know? This is what I heard on the news. This is what they do with this and this is what they do with that. So it's important to just always either get email alerts or to just be in touch where they publish things, where new things change from time to time. So what we passed out here was a few things. One was I promised I would get you the exact measurements for challah. Remember, we talked about taking challah, the ounces and the cups. So that's in one of the newsletters. There's also a list of the kosher establishments in town, in case you want to see what's there. And what I want to focus on today is the kosher without a symbols list. Sometimes you can try very hard to have a kosher kitchen, but if non-kosher food finds its way into your kitchen, then it could mess everything up. It can, and as we talked about in the first case, that there is a way to read kosher, but the best thing is to prevent things from coming in to begin with. The best way to buy things is to buy with a kosher symbol, obviously, because then you know you don't have to worry, it has a kosher symbol. But then there are certain items that you are not required to have a kosher symbol. Why? Certain items are kosher by nature. Basically, if people don't touch it, it's kosher. In other words, if man does something to it, if it's processed, then you need to know in the processing, did they do something that could make it non-kosher? So there's certain items that are either raw or the way they process it at the current time doesn't pose a kashrus concern. And those are typically the items that are on the list here, and we'll go through it in a minute. And it's relatively safe to buy these items without looking for a kosher symbol. Let's take a look at the list. So the first thing on the list is applesauce. Applesauce is just apples. Sometimes you'll find corn syrup in it, no problem. If it has flavoring we talked about in the first class, flavoring means they're not going to tell you the secret ingredients. So if they don't tell you what the ingredients are and it doesn't have a hexer, you can't buy a flavored applesauce. But any plain applesauce is fine. There are certain ingredients that are no problem, baking powder, baking soda. They don't even make it with the hexer, the baking powder, I think. It's just we got the brand name. Now, dry beans. Beans that are in a can are a problem because they make pork and beans in the can. And they make pork and beans and they cook them. Whenever you buy something in a can, it's been cooked. And if they cook pork and beans and then they cook kosher beans, then you're in trouble because it would go through the same equipment. So, dry beans, though, are dry. There's no problem with them. Occasionally, there'll be an infestation issue with dry beans. It's always recommended to soak them first and to look through them, make sure they're not infested, but any dry beans are fine. Beer. Beer is no problem. The way it's currently made, regular beer is fine. They have some new, they've been playing around with beer lately. They have some new kinds of stuff they add to the beer. They have a clam juice beer, believe it or not, Budweiser, Clamato or something. And the problem was that they were concerned that it goes through the same tunnel as the regular beer. And we did a lot of research, and it turned out it was okay, but it was like a panic to the beer drinkers, because it would affect, if you're having clam juice in the same But basically, regular beer does not have any kashrusness. So you can look at the ingredients. A flavored beer, some of these microbreweries, so you say, well, it's lemon flavored. Beer is kosher, lemon's kosher, what could be the problem? Well, it's a flavor. A flavor, they're not using lemon necessarily to make it lemon flavored. So you don't know what's in it. If it's flavored, we don't recommend it without a hefsher. But regular beer is fine.
What?
Imported, if it's in countries that regulate ingredients, the European countries, I heard they can shoot you in Germany if you don't, if you label something as beer and it's not, they take their beer very seriously. All the European countries, if you label it beer, it has to be beer. As long as you understand the label, sometimes the label's in Mexican or Japanese or whatever, and you really don't know what's in the stuff, but plain regular beer is typically fine, even if it's imported. If they did something special to it, you may need someone to translate what they did. If they, you know, they added something, they made a coloring to it.
Okay.
Which one? I'll give you mine when I'm done, if you like.
We're short a couple. Get a whole bunch over there, because we're short. Yeah.
Okay. Cocoa is fine. Any plain cocoa. Coffee. Coffee by nature is kosher, regular or decaf. Any variety of coffee is kosher. In other words, Colombian coffee. It's just a variety. African coffee. It's just a variety. Sometimes they try to spice it up how it sounds. In other words, if you go to Starbucks, they don't just say South American. It's super energized Colombia. I don't know, whatever they... But as long as it's not flavored coffee, it's just a variety or it comes from a certain place, then it's fine. But if it's flavored, if it's Irish cream flavored, then you don't know what's in the flavor. Sometimes they give you the flavor and you can check the bottle and see if it has an OU on it. But any variety of coffee should be fine. A lot of places will do a holiday blend of coffee, like breakfast blend of tea. So if the item is pure, again, it's just a blend, it's just a variety, it's fine. If it's flavored, then you have to be careful and make sure it has a hetcher. Cornstarch, corn syrup, corn grits. Corn is a pretty safe ingredient, kashrus-wise, for the most part. Yes?
What about taking coffee beans and running them through a grinder and using it to store them like
oil? Mm-hmm. So if the store, the only kind of beans they carry are all kosher, meaning they don't carry flavored beans, then that would be fine. Or if all the varieties they have are kosher. There used to be one in the Kroger store near us where all of the whole section was an OU coffee. So no matter what was in the machine, it was fine. But if it's one that's open to the general public, there usually is a little bit of coffee dust left over. If it's possible from a non-kosher variety, it should be avoided. But if it's just plain coffee, that's fine. Edamame, those are the soybeans, the frozen soybeans. Those tend to be fine. And they are cooked, but typically when they cook them, the way they do it doesn't really pose a problem. It's done in a specific equipment that's designed to extract the soy and the soybeans. Eggs. We talked a little bit about eggs early on. Farina is fine. Seeds, typically, as long as they're raw. Now, something to worry about in seeds, if they're roasted or dry roasted, so that means an oil is used. An oil is a processed ingredient. So anytime something is roasted, it should have a hexure. But plain seeds or those things are fine. Flour is always fine. Sometimes they have vitamins that sound very strange, niacin and riboflavin and all kinds of, but believe it or not, the vitamins are okay. So if it's just flour and vitamins, it's fine. If it's a dough mix, then it needs a hexher. But just plain flour is almost always fine. That's going to be fine. Food additives. There's a list of some of them. These are basically preservatives and things. Most of them are derived from salt. Those are all fine. Food colors. The colors with the number on them are usually okay. In other words, you know, red number 20, blue number, they're all synthetic. The only coloring to worry about is carmine red. Now, carmine is a cochineal extract, and the company that makes it lobbied the Food and Drug to write the word cochineal. Cochineal is a beetle. But instead of writing beetle extract, because nobody would want to drink grapefruit juice or fruit cocktail if it said beetle extract, they wrote cochineal extract. It's a bright red coloring. Many times, if it says coloring and it doesn't tell you what the coloring is, or if it says carmine or cochineal, that would be not kosher. The numbered colors are typically fine. Red number 20, blue number, whatever those colors, they tend to be fine. Canned fruits. Canned fruits are no kosher concern as long as it's just fruit in the can. The like varieties of fruit, what they do is they take out the sugar so it shouldn't be too fattening. And then when they take out the sugar, it doesn't taste good. So then they add flavoring in it to make up for the lack of sugar, because no one's going to buy it if it doesn't taste good. So most of the light varieties will need a hexure, because it'll say added flavoring. But any regular canned fruit is fine. In its own syrup, in sugar, in syrup, pineapple, they all tend to be fine, no problem as far as canned fruits go. Frozen fruits also tend to be fine. No problem with frozen fruits typically. One of them has, I think, the melons. They add something to keep the color. That's usually a food additive. It's usually fine. I can't pronounce it. You read something with a certain thing added to keep it from turning color. Honey, as we know, it is fine. The one product to look out for that's not kosher is called royal jelly. And it's derived from the queen bee, and it's bee-derived. So bees are not kosher. They're swarmy things. A bee is not a kosher thing. So people get confused. They think because honey's kosher, so anything from a bee is kosher. No, a bee is a non-kosher animal. So then your next question you're going to ask me is, well, then why is honey kosher? Honey comes from a bee, so that's a good question. The more I ask that question. And there are two answers given. One is, we don't know why it's kosher. God said so. It's a land full of milk and honey. It doesn't make sense to us. We really don't. For specifically honey, yeah. The other is that the bee really takes the nectar. What's the word? It takes the pollen from the flower, and it doesn't. It's not really bee juice in the honey. It just takes the pollen, and in fact, the different flavored honeys come from different kinds of flowers. So if you'll have orange honey, it doesn't mean that it's orange flavored honey. It just means that the bees took the pollen from the orange blossoms. So therefore the honey tastes orange because that's the flower that was used. So typically that's no problem. Now if the honey's flavored, then it would need to have a hexure. Royal jelly, on the other hand, is some kind of bile or something they get from the queen bee that's extracted, and that would be of concern. That would not be kosher. Okay. Juices. So any pure juice would be fine. If a juice is cooked, then it would be a concern. Tomato juice is always cooked. And they make meat sauce in the plants where they cook tomatoes. And so, therefore, tomato juice always needs a hexure. Grape juice is not kosher if it needs a hexure, because we have special rules about alcohol. If we have time today, we'll get back to them. But when you produce wine, there are special kosher laws that come into play with producing wine. So grape juice and tomato juice do need a hexure. All of the other juices, as long as they're pure, they don't pose a problem. Apple juice, orange juice. Now they're coming out with fancy orange juices that have all kinds of stuff in them. I mentioned there's orange juice that's heart healthy that has fish oil in it. Well, fish oil needs a hexure. There's an orange juice that's dairy because it has lactose in it. It has a calcium additive that's like a vitamin. But plain, pure orange juice is no problem, and that would be fine. Now, what's confusing to people, did I talk about this, is the dairy orange juices? I don't remember. I'll talk about it again anyways. Orange juice is usually produced in a milk plant. And the reason why they do that is they want to make sure that they kill all the germs, so they run it through the same machine that kills the germs in milk. It's called a pasteurizer. So if they run orange juice through the milk equipment, so they put a D on it so that you know that it was processed in a milk factory. So typically when something has a D, we don't eat it with meat. Good idea. Don't eat anything with a D with meat. But in most cases, even if it has a D, you probably could eat it with meat. You have to check with your rabbi, and I'll tell you why. They do run milk through this machine called the pasteurizer, but then milk has a lot of things that spoil if you leave milk very long, it tastes terrible, right? The kids' bottles in the cup, they always leave it in the house, and the next day you find it, and there's things growing in there. It's really nasty. So it pasteurizes, they wash it through with, they sanitize it at a very high temperature. So according to many rabbis, that would make it so that even though they run orange juice afterwards, it would be par. But official OU policy is that they can only label a tarif if there was a rabbi there to oversee the kashering of it. And that's a good policy, typically, because you can't always be sure that it was at the same temperature or at the hotter temperature. De facto, it's for sure tarif, even if it has a D on it. The question is it ideal? Like I said, you can ask your rabbi, see how you feel about it. Basically, we say you can buy orange juice even if it has no kosher mark, and it's probably made in a dairy also. So we really, al pi halacha, there really isn't much problem with an orange juice that was made in a milk plant, but we don't allow in our kosher kitchens anything with a D on it, because in many cases a D means there's a dairy ingredient. So this gets to a very confusing thing to everybody, and it is confusing. What does D mean? So D can either mean it was made on dairy equipment, or it can mean there's a dairy ingredient. How can you know? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you don't know whether you have to call up the kosher agency or the company to find out why it has a D. Soy milk. Most soy milk has a D on it. They're almost always part of the soy milks. It's just run on the same equipment, the same issue. I would say we get a lot of questions about things that have a D on it that really don't have dairy. If it's important to you to have a certain item that has a D on it, and you want to know, is it really dairy? So give us a call, or we can help you research it. There are many items that have a D on it. They're really cough drops. They don't have a D on it. They actually are part of it has to do with a candy base. It has a butter on it. It's also a dairy equipment issue. Orange juice, like we said, almost always will have a D. Popsicles, they're made in the same facilities that make the ice cream. They always get a DE or a D. Usually they also are part of it. The good news about popsicles are you don't usually dip them in your meats when so it's okay to have it after the meal. So D is confusing. So really, if the best thing is to treat D as dairy, but if for some reason you need to know if a particular D is not dairy, so then give us a call, or you can actually research it yourself. You can call the company, you can call the kosher agency, and you can find out, is it dairy or not. Now sometimes somebody tells me, I look at the ingredients and I don't see anything dairy. Does that mean it's parf? So, there's two problems. One, sometimes it says cherry flavor. And remember what I told you about flavor. Flavor means there's a bunch of secret ingredients and we're not going to tell you because then you could make this. So if it says flavor on there, it could be it's dairy in the flavor, but you don't know it. Because one of the dairy makes a very good flavor. There are many good flavors that are in there. Sometimes if it says flavor, you really don't know if it's dairy or not. There's another thing, cookies are always dairy. Ever wonder why they can't come up with a good part of chocolate chip cookie? Unless you buy the kosher brand or whatever. The reason why is that in the companies, they have these huge mixers where they mix batches of dough. Wouldn't you love to have that cookie dough, you know? But they have a huge, huge mixer. We go to one in downtown Atlanta, they have one, believe it or not. And it's not practical to clean out the mixer in between one batch of cookie dough and another, because then they'd have to get it wet. And if they get it wet, it has to dry first, because otherwise bacteria grows. And that would slow the whole process if they had to wash down the mixer in between. So what they do is a scrape out. Basically, they take like a yardstick and they scrape out the dough, and then they go to the next batch. But it's still sticky. And they can't have anybody lick it off. I hope not. So what happens is you want a sugar cookie, and it was made after a chocolate chip cookie that had milk. So it doesn't list any dairy. But when they put that in that mixing bowl, there was sticky stuff in there. So there really is a little bit of dairy in there, even though they don't tell you. They don't have to list it because it's not an ingredient in the sugar cookie. So in that case, the D means there was a little bit of dairy in there. In the case of the orange juice, there's no dairy in the orange juice at all. It's just, it went through the same cooker as the milk. That's a little bit less of a problem. So it does get to be complicated when you see the deed. It can mean, again, if you see a kosher mark, and next to the mark, if there's no deed, it's parv. Don't worry about it. Even if it says natural butter flavor, it's parv. I get 100 calls a year about that. It says natural butter flavor. And so the word natural butter flavor, something is natural, but not necessarily the butter is natural. In other words, the natural means that the ingredients used in the flavoring are natural, but not necessarily that it has butter to make the butter flavor. It's a natural butter flavor. So if you see a D, it could mean there's a dairy ingredient. That means dairy, can't eat it with meat. It could mean that there's no dairy ingredient and it was just made on dairy equipment. Or it could mean there's no dairy ingredient and they just didn't wash the equipment that well. So it's one of those three options, and then again, you can research it if it concerns you.
First,
yes?
I think you already answered it, though. Kroger's ownership said it's KM.
Mm-hmm.
Any problems with that?
Yeah, just check the ingredients, as long as it's just oranges, that's fine. Another thing about labels that confuse people a lot of times companies have lawyers, and the lawyers need to justify the work that they do, and they make them put a disclaimer that this was made in a plant that may contain dairy, because they're worried that somebody might put the dairy somehow in the item that doesn't have dairy, and they're allergic to dairy and they'll get sick and they'll sue the company. And so by writing that disclaimer, this item may contain dairy, they hope to prevent a lawsuit. If it has a kosher mark and the kosher mark says parv, then you don't have to worry that the lawyer had them put the statement on there. Because it's two different issues. One issue is the lawyer says, always put that statement, you're safer with it. The other issue is the rabbi who says, if I can guarantee there's no dairy in it, it's kosher. There's also another issue, and that is many companies, when they use dairy, they use milk powder. And so let's say they have two different lines. They have a parv line and they have a dairy line. And they pour the milk powder into the...
Take your time. I'm sorry for time, so I'll come get you.
Can you give us a 2-minute warning?
Yeah,
I'll okay. Okay, great. Thank you. So we're talking about milk powder. Right? So the problem is this. The people who are allergic to dairy, they're allergic to even a tiny percentage. Those people that get really sick, there's two kinds of people that can't, some are lactose intolerant, they don't typically get sick. There's some people that have to go to the hospital if they eat dairy. And if they have milk powder anywhere in the plant, they can't have it. Now, milk powder goes through the air. And if there's milk in one side of the plant, and you put your finger on the window, you'll get like a powder on. But according to halakha, air is not milking. And so it's like if you smell, you walk by a fast food restaurant and you smell, you didn't smell trade. It doesn't. So, but people who are allergic, some of them are so allergic they can get sick through the air, through the milk the particles that went through the air. But according to the halakha, we don't have to worry about if the milk particles on this side of the plant floated to the other side of the plant through the air. It's not a kashrus concern. So sometimes the plant wants to be careful and they'll write on the item this may contain milk. So just because it says it may contain milk, as long as it's parv, you're allowed to. Now if you want to be extra careful, that's fine. I'm just saying, but the kashrus agency that's on there is guaranteeing you that it's parv according to halakha. Because again, air, according to halakha, is parv. I mean, it's not milk, it's not trace, it's not anything. Air is air. You're allowed to breathe in, but walking out, past the bakery on Pesach, it's not, the air doesn't, halakha doesn't forbid the air necessarily. Okay, moving along. Maple syrup, sugar. They claim on some farms that when they tap the thing into the tree to take out the maple syrup, they don't want the maple syrup to stick to the tree, and they smear the tree with lard. And there are farmers that do it that way, but the big companies don't do it that way. It's not, so typically what we say with maple syrup, we write mass produced. In other words, if you go and you buy it in the supermarket, it wasn't they're not going to, when they do it in large amounts, they're not going to use lard. It's not conventional. It's not sanitary. It's not, but if you stop at some farm somewhere in Vermont, and that farmer, he might just do it the way his granddaddy did it and just, you know, smear the lard on. So, you know, that's the... milk typically is fine. Any milk is kosher. Doesn't need a hexer. Flavors. They use the flavor again. They don't just put chocolate. They use chocolate flavor. And so we don't know what's in it. Same thing true. Vanilla milk, buttermilk, they do need supervision. Okay, then we talked about nuts. Olive oil, extra virgin olive oil is actually not processed. It's done cold. It's so pure they don't need to put it through any equipment. Yeah, so those are all typically processed. So since they're processed, we want to make sure it's done on kosher equipment. So those would need a hechsher. Polenta. Oh, rice. So rice does not need a hechsher. Any rice is fine. There are a lot of rice that sound like they have something in them, but they're just varieties. So we have some of them listed over here. Sushi rice, basmati rice. There's some rice that come with a flavor packet. So again, flavors, you don't know what's in it. So you can throw out the flavor packet and just use the rice. Yes?
What about wild rice?
Wild rice is fine. There is one company that makes rice. It's like a Middle Eastern name, and they actually have one that has like it has OU meat on it. It has like a chicken flavor to it. And they have some that are dairy, a Parmesan. I'm trying to remember what the brand name. But you can see it on the ingredients. That it's not a plain rice. It's a flavored rice. It has some kind of thing with it. Spices. Here's a spices. Generally speaking, a single spice, a pure, is kosher. A spice blend. When they blend it, they add an anti-caking ingredient. It could be of an animal nature. So then if it's a blended spice, it should have a hechsher. Soy grits, sugar, tea, they're all pretty straightforward. Frozen vegetables. There's nothing in the freezing process that would make a vegetable non-kosher, typically, when they freeze it. Some vegetables have bug issues. That's a different problem. In other words, if it's a vegetable that's infested, the fact that they froze it doesn't necessarily take care of the bug concern. And then there are different guidelines for checking for bugs and things. Okay. Then there's a small list of non-food items. Generally speaking, non-food is not a major concern. It's a preference, non-food items. Things like toothpaste and mouthwash and cleaners. In many cases, if you use something that didn't have the hechsher, you don't have to be overly worried. Again, it's a preference in a lot of the non-food items. There are leniencies involved for non-food items that they don't have to have a hechsher. Many of them will have a hechsher because in today's marketplace, it's a useful thing to have. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about kosher symbols. We passed out some cards. I have more available if you want to give me a call or call the office. People assume that if it says kosher, it must be kosher. Now, I don't know why people assume that. You go to the marketplace and somebody promises that you'll lose weight in your sleep or you'll be 10 years younger if you take this or they'll cure the cold. And there are all kinds of promises made in the marketplace, and kosher is not regulated. The government stays far away from kosher. And so there are items that claim to be kosher that are not really kosher. The only way we know it's kosher is if a reputable person is behind it. So we have a list of reputable kosher symbols. There are symbols that you can order in the back of a magazine. You call up and you have the symbol, and then you send them a check and you got the symbol. And that's all you got to do. And we don't recommend those symbols. Now, some items will have a symbol that doesn't mean anything, but that doesn't make them non-kosher either. In other words, let's say the item is raisins. Raisins don't, unless it's an oiled raisin, don't typically have a kosher concern. So if they have a phony symbol on it, that doesn't really concern us, because the fact that it has a symbol that the company didn't get a real rabbi to water. Let's say water has a phony kosher symbol. But it doesn't really matter. Water is kosher regardless of if it has a symbol or not. So it's important to know what symbols are good and what symbols are no good. The problem with the symbols that are no good is that nobody tells you about it because they don't want to be sued. And so, therefore, everybody publishes a list of the ones that are good, and they typically don't go out of their way to publish the ones that are not good because It's just in today's marketplace, people have had problems with that. Sometimes, well, who says I'm not kosher? And, you know, prove they're not kosher, and it becomes a challenge. But there are there is a consensus about a few symbols that they're no good. Now, there's some symbols that are not no good, but they're not so good. Somebody invites you to eat at their house. 2 minute warning. Okay. Someone invites you to eat at their house. Very nice of them. Some people, you know, for sure they're kosher. Some people, you know, for sure that they probably aren't kosher. Some people, you're not so sure. So in kosher symbols, there are some like that also. That it's, you know, some you just may not know who the person is or if they have a real certification. And so sometimes those would take time to check into. Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone for coming. I'll take questions if you're not going to the class. Feel free to call me in the office.